This is the Draft Prospect Review Podcast from Patriots.com.
With the 22nd pick, the New England Patriots select.
Now here to preview the prospect are the writers of Patriots Football Weekly.
It is indeed a Wednesday here at Gillette Stadium, which means the Draft Podcast Review is underway, where we are going to
preview
the quarterbacks this week. Our first position, we got to get right into it. Andy.
Sorry, my headphones are not functioning at the moment, Paul.
Yeah, mine are falling apart.
Yeah, my headphones are all...
Andy's yelling at Doc, and Eric just looks all discombobulated. I don't know what's going on here. That's not a good start, because you guys are the kings of the 2010 draft. Or the 010 draft, as Fred likes to refer to it.
Indeed.
We're going to start off this week. Last week, we gave you a little bit of an overview of the combine and what to expect with this draft class at large, but... This week we're going to start a weekly look at position by position look, and we'll start with quarterbacks. Good news for the listeners out there and our fans who actually enjoy our draft coverage and our draft analysis. The video will be arriving probably today. Actually, it may actually already be here. So we are going to be able to get much more in depth as we move forward, starting next week with all of our podcasts. As well as our podcast on Patriots, PFW in progress. I was going to say Patriots.com, but that makes no sense because obviously it's all on Patriots.com.
Jackpot.
Where the dot comers.
Can't get any more in love with a guy than Andy Hart is. And I'm going to, Eric, if you forgive me, I'm just going to turn this over to Andy right now.
Yeah, for this particular one, yeah. You might as well.
Sam Bradford is by all
Mendenhall
accounts the number
is
one quarterback.
Ridiculous.
I think we all agree he's the number one quarterback.
Sure.
But Eric, you and I pale in comparison to the love affair that is Andy Hart.
That's a good way to describe
and
it,
Sam
too.
Bradford.
Not since Rashard Mendenhall, as Doc
Why,
pointed
Andy?
Out there.
Has Why?
Pretty good pro, no? Pretty good pro?
He's okay.
Thank you.
Why is
Mendenhall
he so,
is ridiculous.
Why is he so much head and shoulders above the rest of this class for you?
Accuracy.
Okay, it's not a real estate show.
And I think he has the build. I know people think he's a little undersized.
He's 6'4", 223.
Doesn't look it, though.
I believe at the
he really
combine,
doesn't look
230
it.
And change.
Yeah,
he gained
a little bit.
He knows that he's considered skinny.
He's learning size at the NFL
putting
level.
Putting on size so for the NFL level.
Okay, that's something to keep. Obviously, might be a red flag, might be a black flag. We'll have to keep a track on
that's
it.
Right.
Which flag has him as a legitimate starter in the National Football League? Because that's the flag that I want to anoint him with.
I like Sam Bradford a lot. I
think his downside is JAG NFL starter. I think his upside, as I've said on PFW in Progress, is
Peyton Manning.
Decade-long. Dominant
you,
franchise.
You told us he was going to be.
Don't pass it up.
Right. You told us he was going to be in Canton.
I believe he'll be in Canton in.
Peyton Manning is his upside.
You know, 15 years.
Myron Roll wants
More
to plan
15.
To go to med school after a 12-year NFL career for 12 years.
Mm-hmm.
About 15 years from now, you'll be talking about Sam Bradford retiring and 5 years away.
So
he'll
20
be
years from now.
20 years from now, Sam Bradford will be in Canton.
I the believe class
he
of
is a great, great quarterback. Prospect. I think he's everything you look for. There's no problems really. You know, I think he's not the guy who's looking to be Hollywood. I think he cares about football in a Brady-like, Manning-like fashion. I think he has all the intangibles. I think he can, quote, make all the throws. You know, I think he's undersized. I think he's relatively young, obviously. The biggest issue is the health. If he can prove that...
Undersized?
Yeah.
From... What standpoint? He's 6'4", 230.
220. I mean, he doesn't weigh enough. I mean, he needs to add bulk. He needs to take NFL hits. I mean, I think if you're going to be his size, you want to be up in the 230s. You don't want to be lanky. And he needs to battle those injury concerns.
What does Brady weigh now?
I don't know.
Because, I mean, that's comparable.
And I think Brady came in the league skinny.
Weight to height ratio, don't you think?
I think Brady came in the league skinny and has put on weight.
He did come in skinny.
Definitely.
And he has put on weight, but I don't know if he's...
That's my point.
I don't know if he's...
That's what you need to
that
do if
heavier.
You're going to be a pro quarterback, an elite pro quarterback. You need to take the pounding. You can't. There's not a lot of skinny NFL quarterbacks
right.
that last.
Right.
I can't think of any, personally. I think they add bulk because you need to at the position.
Ken Dorsey yeah. maybe, but as a
Brady's
as a
listed at 225.
Backup.
NFL quarterback.
Which is about
I said NFL
Sam Bradford.
Ken Dorsey
yeah.
is not
right.
fall into that umbrella.
He was the skinniest one I could think of.
All right, Eric. The consensus second guy, because I think we all sort of agree, not maybe not to the extent that Andy does, but I think we all
well,
agree.
Do we all? Because I just told you Corey Chavis, I was checking out his
well,
website.
I'm talking about us. Doesn't
the first talking about, we're talking about us.
This is the Patriots Football Weekly Draft Podcast
oh,
Review.
Okay.
I really can't concern myself with all these
okay.
nickel and dime
Corey
experts
Chavis.
Out there. Corey Chavis. If you want to get into this for...
He's
I
still
know,
playing.
I know as a player, you were kind of known as your little niche was the draft, but when you put guys like Reggie McNeil as your number one overall prospect a couple years ago, you sort of forfeit a little credibility.
And have a first round with no quarterbacks in it. I don't care what mock it is. That's not going to happen.
Okay, so I would say, based on what I've been hearing, the consensus second guy is Clausen. Mm-hmm. So, Eric, would you agree with Jimmy Clausen, Notre Dame, as the number two prospect?
Yeah, I think so. And Andy talked about the size and with Bradford, and Clausen's a little bit smaller as far as height, probably about the same weight wise. I think you're really splitting hairs at that point with size with these guys, because they've proven what they can do at the college level. And on a pretty bad Notre Dame team, Jimmy Clausen was the reason they actually won as many games as they did last year. And I think that tells you, in a pro-style offense, that he can get the job done at this next level. You know, he's going to need a little bit more help around him, obviously, and he does get banged up a little bit because he took so many hits at Notre Dame. But I think he's got all the intangibles that Bradford has, too. Maybe not to the degree that Bradford is at the moment, but I think he can grow into that. And remember, he's only a junior coming out. Bradford is, too. But, I mean, I think they both... It's close. I'll give the nod to Bradford, but I think Clausen definitely has what it takes to be a franchise quarterback somewhere.
He's Hollywood. The part that that said Bradford's not Hollywood, Jimmy Clausen's Hollywood.
Well, he didn't come across that way at the combine, though.
In a negative way?
In a negative way.
He didn't come across that way at the
He's
combine.
Hollywood.
And you even said that, too.
I like
You know Clausen. How he was
You've
trying to
not come
since
across?
Then? No. I think he did. He was convincing at the combine, but there's a difference between being convincing and being a tiger
being
and changing
person.
Your spots.
There he goes again.
He cracks himself up when he butchers his metaphors.
He is the Tiger Woods type. He was supposed to be a starting NFL quarterback since he was in middle school. That's what he's been. He goes to Notre Dame. If you remember one of the criticisms, he showed up, I believe, at the press conference to announce he was going to Notre Dame in a stretch limo. That's what he's about. He's about being an NFL franchise quarterback from birth.
But I think he can do it. I think he's proven that he can do it.
I think he is everything everybody says he is. Cocky, arrogant, dismissive. And I think the other issue with him is Bradford was playing in kind of a college offense, a spread offense. He was playing in an NFL offense. So how much growth room is there? Now, maybe that's a positive that he's more NFL ready if the offense is similar to Charlie Weiss's.
That's my argument.
But he's been coached by a pro for 4 years. And everybody says, well, you can fix this and that. Well, why didn't the pro coach do it then over the last 4 years? He has gotten pro coaching for the last
three
years. I think the upside's with Bradford. I think Clausen is... You know, a lot of times these one and two, one of them is a bust and one of them is great. It's Leaf, it's Manning, mm-hmm. it's Bledsoe, it's Meyer.
Right.
Well, two busts in that case. But just kidding, Paul.
Unbelievable.
I feel like Clausen is the bust
in waiting.
Your boy
Sam Bradford.
Whereas Bradford is waiting
to
have a bust.
To the standards that is Drew Bledsoe. Anyway, I like Clausen. I don't love him. I do think that he's clearly a notch below.
You don't like Clausen
Bradford.
As much as Clausen likes Clausen.
No, I think Clausen's pretty good, but I do think that he also benefited a little bit. I think I agree with Eric's point about the Notre Dame team. I don't think they were very good, especially defensively. They couldn't stop anybody. But I do think they had good receivers, and I think that the receivers made him look a little better than he was. Golden Tate, Michael Floyd, I think, were pretty good players. I don't think they were great. I think Clausen played very well, but I don't think that he is – I'm not sure that he is a franchise guy that you – I think you could be okay with him as your quarterback. I'm not sure he can get you to the next level. But this class of quarterbacks is very interesting because there's a bunch of other guys that sort of have those kinds of – I mean, really, really popular names that people have no idea. Colt McCoy at Texas. Tim Tebow is the lightning rod for this entire draft from Florida. Perhaps the best, greatest college football player of all time. So I think I don't know where we put these guys. You could go anywhere with Tebow from first to the fifth round. I mean, mm-hmm. you could see mock drafts with the, you know, Corey Chavis might have him going number one overall. I don't know.
No.
But where do you put these guys? Where do you kind of slot McCoy and Tebow, and where do you see them fitting into the NFL level?
I actually think both those guys are behind the next level. I think when it all said and done and you get to the draft, I think you'll see a guy like Tony Pike jump up into that second round range where he's the next. Because I think there's two elite guys that we just talked about, and then there's a huge jump, question mark, who are they?
Pike
I think
LaFever.
You're going to see Pike and maybe LaFever. I think he hurt himself by not working out at the combine. I think those two are going to leapfrog.
Certainly didn't help himself.
I think McCoy is next, and then Tebow falls in somewhere. Now, I won't be surprised if somebody falls in love and takes him early, McCoy is clearly latching himself to Drew Brees
because
he's short. The short guy just won the Super Bowl MVP. You know, I can be Drew Brees.
Not a bad tack to take.
Sure.
But
McCoy does have all the
intangibles. There's one Drew Brees. No question. Based on the intangibles, McCoy is up there. He's athletic, but he doesn't have the prototypical size. And there's a reason it's prototypical, because it's harder to do things when you're 6'1 than 6'4, 5, and 6 because of throwing lanes and visibility and seeing things and all that. But I actually think he may be, in terms of winner and come in and play, he may be most ready. Obviously, he stepped right in.
4 years
Texas
of experience.
After Vince Young. And that was a spotlight. That was a shadow. That was,
sure was
living in that legend of Vince Young was something he had to deal with.
All-time
and I think he did a very good job
with
it.
All-time winning his quarterback.
So I think he could be pro-ready in a lot of ways other than ideal size.
Yep.
Although he also has the injuries, he obviously has to prove that he's come back from. But I don't think that's a huge hurdle for him.
Yeah. Any of those guys that's your personal favorite, Eric?
Not really. They don't really stand out. Of course, we haven't watched our film yet, as you pointed out earlier. But I think, as Andy pointed out, the Pikes and the Lefevers, there are a lot of guys who fit that mold that you're looking for in an NFL quarterback who are either played at smaller schools or don't have the name recognition at this point, who could, as we get closer in the next, you know, 3-4 weeks, could catapult themselves a little bit higher, maybe not necessarily first rounder, but high second rounder kind of thing. And I'm just be interested to see who that is that makes that jump, because there, after that, there's a lot of drop off, I think, in this year's quarterback class.
I actually think Snead, if we're going to move down to those.
I was going to set you up for that one. He's a guy that had a lot of hype heading into this past season, the 2009 season.
Mm-hmm.
Ole Miss, I believe, entered the year at number 4, which is an extremely high rating for them without having done anything. They failed miserably,
right?
And he had a terrible junior year, right?
He did. Surprised people by coming out early.
He came
right.
Up.
I actually,
very athletic.
Very athletic, good build, you know, kind of the measurable things you look for. I know a lot of people think part of his struggles were losing Michael Orr, his tackle. We're losing Wallace, the receiver.
William?
Michael, I believe. The guy who went to Pittsburgh, didn't he?
Mike Wallace.
Losing some of his weapons. Now, that's not to say he didn't have weapons. Obviously, he had
McCluster. Right.
But, you know, I think that was a part of it. And I think sometimes it just happens. You know, the hype, the hype gets a little bit ahead of the product. Mm-hmm. Things happen. You know, he's an interesting guy. We talk about McCoy. He started out at Texas. He transferred away from Texas when he realized, ooh, this McCoy guy is going to play for 4 years.
Yes. Yeah.
So I think that's, you know, part of his history. You know, we always judge guys, the whole Matt Cassel thing. He chose to stay and compete versus not compete, whatever. I just think physically, I'm actually a big fan of the guys sometimes who have a great sophomore year or something, junior year, and then kind of come back to reality, because I think sometimes that's part of the learning curve. There's doing great things when no one expects it, then coming back to reality when everybody expects it, you know, kind of the George Selvey thing where he explodes on the scene, then teams start teaming him. There's a learning curve there, and I think getting used to that, I think, sometimes can be a positive.
Right.
And I think Snead can be a good NFL quarterback, certainly above, you know, you want to compare him to Tebow. I'll take my chances with Snead over Tebow, because I think his upside is NFL starter.
I think Tebow's
upside is NFL jack of all trades.
I would agree with that, because I don't think Tebow is going to be much of a factor. I'm not sure Snead throws the ball well enough. I think he's certainly a good enough athlete, but I'm not sure he throws the ball well enough. But among those guys down there, Eric, this is clearly, we like to look at this area when we're talking about quarterbacks, because we don't think the Patriots will use a really high pick, you know, first two rounds on a quarterback.
Yep. Have we given up on Tebow to New England? It was obviously the talk for the last year plus.
Well, I wanted to get your opinion on which quarterback you think the Patriots might take, because more often than not, they've explored a quarterback at some point in the draft. Kevin O'Connell was the guy a couple years ago in the third round, which is a really high pick for a
Well, that's why I wanted to clarify, because I don't consider Tebow a quarterback. And I think there's a chance they could draft Tebow and a quarterback.
Yeah,
I don't think Tebow's a quarterback.
Because I think quarterback they draft would be a guy they could
potentially
see, you know,
run
6'4",
the
240,
right.
Could develop in 3 years to be a quarterback.
Right.
I don't think Tebow is that guy. I think Tebow is
Bill's
gimmicky,
exactly.
Wildcat, H-back, whatever.
And if he's available in the fourth round for some reason, at the Patriots, sure, why not? If teams decide, well, we're not going to take him as a quarterback
I don't want
nobody
Tebow,
wants to go near him.
To be
him,
honest with you, under any circumstances, because I think it's just going to create an unbelievable circus.
Well, Paul, you'll learn to like him, and then the like will grow into love, and the love will grow into a team. And with that bond
kid,
of team, you will win a championship.
I suppose you're right.
Quote from Tebow at the combine.
You're probably right, because if he comes here and I get to interview him a few times, I'll have been a better man for having known him.
That's true.
That's what Tim Brando told me.
A lot of sarcasm in this podcast all of a sudden.
But I
want to draft him so he can bring that girl from the internet photo.
The reason I don't want to draft him has nothing to do with him. I think he is an exceptional winner. We talked about the intangibles with Colt McCoy. Mm-hmm. Certainly Tebow has all of those as well. I don't want him because I don't think he can play quarterback. And he's always going to linger wherever he goes is, when are they going to make him a quarterback? When are they going to use him in a wildcat? When are they going to create a special offense? Remember, we heard all that with Doug Flutie back when he was here in New England way back in the 80s. They have to build the offense around it. Well, you don't build offenses around guys. You have a system, and the guy either can play or not. Now, maybe you tailor your system a little bit to help the guy and go with the guy's strengths, but I don't think you can do it completely overnight like that. And take a guy like Tebow. But any late-round guy stick out to you? I know you didn't watch any tape yet. Mm-hmm. So,
well, just from talking to them at the Combine and reading their histories and stuff, there are a couple of names that maybe we want to consider. Levi Brown from Troy, not the tackle from the Cardinals.
Another terrific athlete, by the way, Levi Brown.
Yeah, and he's those measurables, 6'3", 220, runs in the 4'7", 4'8 range. And Tim Hiller from Western Michigan, another big player, 6'4", 235-ish, a little bit on the slow side. But in this offense, that's not what they're looking for the quarterback to take off and run with it. They're looking for a guy that can stay in the pocket and make those throws the way Brady does. So I think Hiller was one guy who threw a little bit at the combine when Lefevre decided to back out after a couple of throws. And I think he might have just increased his visibility at the very least among some of the pro scouts. Sure. So those are a couple of names I think we can keep in mind.
Now, I like a guy that Andy hates in Tennessee's Jonathan Crompton. As a late guy. I'm not talking about a third, fourth-round pick. I'm talking about a sixth or seventh
third round or fourth-round pick
really?
Type guy. Oh, yeah.
Well, I don't like him that high.
He's a riser.
I want him as a late-round guy.
I think
he
was
helped
out
good year,
by not
good
being
year.
Invited to the combine. He couldn't prove himself a fool. Some of these other guys showed up, either didn't throw well, didn't throw. The guys were injured, different things. He's kind of just sitting out there based on the year he had last year under Lane Kiffin, who's obviously an offensive kind of mind, and it worked there for him. Sure. I think he's benefiting from not being at the combine. Now, that may come back to reality if teams do the individual workouts and the pro days, but he is a riser.
If you're basing it on an entire career, he's not a prospect. He was a terrible disappointment at Tennessee. He did, however, show some signs, especially the latter half of the 09 season, where I thought he played pretty well. And clearly, he had he had some talent. He was a long time. He had a lot of experience at a place like Tennessee, playing in the SEC. But any late round sleeper for you, Andy? That Eric didn't mention. Not really.
I know.
How about the kid out of Holy Cross, Randolph?
No, that's your guy, Dominic.
It's not my guy.
I did want to point out, I like to give these numbers
out.
Don't
attach guys to me.
NFLDraftScout.com is our favorite website, Rob Rang.
Without question.
They have somewhere in the range of 17 guys worthy of draft. That last group is 7/free agent types.
And that doesn't mean that 17 guys will get drafted.
No.
They're saying worthy of getting.
Yes, it's getting where they're worthy of. But it goes off quickly. You got the 2-1s, 2-2s and Tebow and McCoy type thing. But then there's a whole group of 5, 6, 7 ratings. One guy I know Patriots fans kind of have sent a lot of emails about is Mike Kafka, the kid out of Northwestern.
Oh, I don't like him at
all. East-West Shrine Bowl. Kind of seems to have that gamer reputation,
system
comebacks, blah, blah, blah. Mm. Just a name to throw out there. Another name I'll throw out there, the Fordham kid, Skelton. Looks
Red?
The part.
John.
Oh.
Who's Red Skelton?
Oh, boy.
6'6", 240-ish, has the size. Run with it.
Okay.
All right. So a lot of quarterbacks, a lot of interesting names, but not a very deep, talented class for sure of quarterbacks.
But when you're going to get one Hall of Famer atop the draft and Sam Bradford, it'll carry the draft at the position.
Fair point by the big head. But, we'll have to see if that pans out because
you laughed at Mendenhall as well. Who's laughing now?
Is he going to the Hall of Fame too?
No. Well, he could. No, but what people laugh at
he racks up another 800 yards
when I said he'd be better than McFadden.
What did he have, Mendenhall, last year?
But he's better than
McFadden. He didn't have 1,000 yards, did he?
He's better than McFadden.
Time to start
the
music.
That's all the bottom line is. All right.
is ridiculous.
When I pick between two guys, I pick the right guy.
What do you guys want to do next week? Running backs?
Sure.
All right.
Why not?
Hey, we'll give it a whirl.
I'll tell you, CJ Spiller, he's borderline ridiculous.
As I said at the start, we will continue our position-by-position look with each week on each Wednesday. That's going to wrap up.
Wednesday Wabbit on each week's Wednesday?
whatever. We're going to wrap up quarterbacks. We'll get to running backs next week. We're going to wrap it, and I'm going to beat this. You know what about Andy.
Quap.
Preview the prospect.
Thank you for downloading this podcast from Patriots.com. Log on anytime for more news and more podcasts from your favorite team and Patriots.com.